What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hello, this is Chi.
Yo soy Emilio.
All right, and we are on video again.
Yes, it's take two.
Take two. We got our streaming computer built. Shout out to our Patreons for making that possible. We've got a hardwired connection now, so I'm hoping that the stream will be a little less laggy than before, but we're still in the development phase of that.
Yep, we got studio lighting. Looks like a casting couch in here.
Without the ferns, too. Yeah. But anyways, I also need to mention that for our Twitch stream, currently it's still dlgaming.net with .net spelled out. We might be changing it in the near future here. So if you're looking for us, just find our link through our website and or Discord.
And she let us know that she had to be at work at 8:30 tonight, and I'm a fucking asshole, and I work too late, and so she has a hard out in the middle of the show. She's going to have to take off, unfortunately, and that's my fault.
And go do bartender things, so party for work.
Fun. All right. So other than that, no big new announcements. I think the next step with the studio, we're going to tweak the lighting a little bit. We're going to get some overlays for Twitch, change the Twitch name, just kind of clean up a few things here and there, and hopefully maybe do some streaming as a group, little co-op, get Steam installed on this. This new streaming computer I'm a huge fan of. Love the case, simple look, got the sound dampening in there. You can't even tell the thing's on. It is so quiet.
Yep. It's just like a rock sitting there.
Yep.
Great.
What was the total?
The total, well, we didn't pay for the hard drive, technically. So how much did we spend on that? 600?
600.
Yeah.
For 600? An awesome rig like that?
Yeah.
And it could play virtually
minus a hard drive. Oh, and a video card.
The video card.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That explains it. But,
and, I mean, we don't need much of it. All we're going to be playing is couch co-op on this, so it doesn't matter.
It's good enough for Overcooked. It's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's a life motto. Or an epitaph.
What?
I like it. It just sounds nice. Oh, good enough for Overcooked? Good enough for me.
All right. Well, let's talk about some games here. On the radar, now, I'm going a little bit of a different direction with this one this week. So last week, I swore off buying games unless I was going to play them in that moment. Lab Monkey had mentioned that's the tactic he takes, and I'm adopting that. So no more buying bundles, no more buying Humble Bundle, whatever. Like, unless I'm going to actually install and play the game, I am not purchasing it at that moment.
Yeah, he said, if I'm not going to play it right fucking then, I don't buy it.
Yeah, because chances are you're never going to play it.
That's, and it's going to go on sale.
That's actually my personal motto, too. I generally will not purchase something unless I know I'm going to install it and play it. Maybe not right at that moment, but probably within 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, something really tested my resolve here. There was a Humble Bundle, first one of the year. The Humble Monthly Bundle was, so they give you one game up front for free, and then you get a bunch later. And they're usually pretty good games. The one that they're offering up front is Civ 6 and two DLCs for it. And, of course, Civ 5, fantastic game. I kind of wanted to get this, but then I honestly thought about it, and I knew I was not going to play it anytime soon, if ever. So,
but wouldn't you think that this would be worth the $12, being that it is such a expansive game with the two DLC?
Oh, it's a great deal. That's the thing. I'm not arguing that.
That's the thing.
And you wouldn't just put that on the back burner at all, on the shelf?
I got a lot on the back burner.
Okay, that's true.
That's why we buy so many games, because it's absolutely worth it. It's absolutely a great deal. But the issue is, are you ever going to play it? That, you know, that's what it really comes down to. It's the, geez, if I saw a Lamborghini for $50,000, obviously that's a great deal, but I'm not going to fucking drive that thing ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm out $50,000, you know, it's just one of those things. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Why would you not want to drive a Lamborghini?
The insurance, for starters.
I think they get worst gas mileage in my truck, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like 10 miles a gallon.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't end up buying this. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a huge fan of Civ 5, and he picked it up, of course, and was excited to play that. And then I had mentioned, you know, I heard Civ 6 wasn't as good, but then we had this really interesting conversation, and it boiled down to when Civ 5 came out, that wasn't insanely well received, was it? I mean, Civ 5 came out, people were like, eh, Civ 4 is better, and then DLC after DLC and patches and updates, and then eventually down the line, everyone's like, Civ 5 is absolutely amazing. So possibly that could play out with Civ 6 as well.
Although I feel like Civ 6 has been now as long as, you know, whenever Civ 5 got good, it's already been that long for Civ 6, and still people are saying Civ 5 is better. That's what I've heard.
Maybe.
Some news on Civ 5 next, by the way.
Yeah, I remember there being naysayers late into the game on Civ 5. Like, people were very adamant. It's like Skyrim. There's so much of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or not Skyrim, but Elder Scrolls. Like, there's so much of the game that people often stick to one of them, you know, Oblivion or Morrowind. And then when the new one comes out, they don't want to make that transition because they're still working through content on the original one. And then eventually, like, you know, Skyrim becomes the main one and everyone's playing that.
I've only had one experience with Civ. It was Civ 5. I played it for probably 6 hours, and it took me a while to kind of get an initial grasp. And it was fun, but I still didn't quite understand the weight of my decisions. Mm. I know I was doing things. I was building up. I was also exploring, and I was defeating enemies I would come across, but at the same time, I felt nowhere near actually accomplishing anything in the game or even close to an ending. And it was probably 6 hours in. Mind you, it was my first 6 hours in the game, and I was trying to catch up with all that reading. But if it takes that long to even kind of like get through the tutorial, and I'm pretty sure I was playing the tutorial,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to understand how somebody can stick to what they know best rather than going over that learning curve once more, even if it's the same exact game.
Well, if you played a lot of Civ 5 and go into Civ 6, I think there's a lot that translates over to that game. I know they made some interesting choices in Beyond Earth. That was the name of it, right? Beyond Earth?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they changed a lot in that one.
They took some risks.
Yeah.
I don't think they paid off. I mean,
no, that wasn't well received.
I think it was a financial success, but I don't think it wasn't critically acclaimed or anything.
Yeah. Duck saying he just bought it during the winter sale. Oh, yeah, that sucks, man. Have you bought it on the winter sale?
How much was it going for? $29.99?
I don't know.
Here's the important part. Did you play it right away?
Yeah.
Have you played it since you bought it? That's the real key.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What's next?
And we aren't forgetting about you, Twitch chat over there. I can only see you guys, so I'll try to mention you as much as possible. But yeah, I know the camera's a little blurry and the angle isn't so great, but we're going to run it this way for now and then kind of fine tune it next week. So it'll get better.
It's our first time, guys.
Yeah. I look better blurry anyway.
We're going to blow our load on your thigh. It's just the way it goes.
All right. Let's talk. Are there any other games that you guys have noticed this week on the radar? I mean, this isn't. Not a lot of games coming out right now.
I bought the one that I was looking at, and I'll more on that later.
Okay. They Are Billions, just a sneak preview of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I wasn't able to play that game, by the way. I think because it's early access, I couldn't play it off your account.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know they've done that.
They Are before. Billions. It looked very interesting. I was actually starting to watch a couple streams of it. It's pretty popular in Twitch, so I'm excited to hear your review when you get to it.
Well, let's get to it.
Yeah, let's talk.
We're here. The name is kind of weird, but then if you put yourself in the situation and somebody in the town says, well, how many are there? And the right answer is like, they are billions. Like, because I think you're going up against the entire world that's been turned into zombies. You're the last outpost, but you have 100 days to get your outpost ready for that invasion. I don't know how many actually attack you, but...
So there's not a perpetual invasion.
There are as well. They trickle in.
Okay.
They trickle in and they're bothering you the whole time.
Is it almost like a RTS with survival wave zombies?
Pretty much. You pretty much nailed it right
there.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
What I really like about that is I hate fucking RTSs because I get stressed out and what is it? What PM? What is it? Movements per minute? What is it?
Actions per minute.
APM.
APM?
APM, actions per minute.
It's probably leading up to the fact that you're going to mention that this game, it's an RTS, but it's not PvP. It's strictly PvE.
No, even better. You can pause anytime and really think about your actions. If I were not
kind of cheating. But it makes sense.
But it's that hard. Think about
it. It's really
like,
that challenging?
Yeah. I put it easy/easy. There's different options. How many zombies versus, and also how many resources. I put on easy and easy, and I was dead within 5 minutes.
Wow.
And then my second game, I'm doing much better. But there's less, way less trickling in. Look at what you have to contend with. Eventually you just get hit with a tsunami of zombies, and it's steampunk. So
you know what it looks like? It looks like a Zergling rush, but of your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Like have you ever been cheesed in StarCraft? This is the epitome of the first 5-10 minutes of what it looks like when Zerglings rush into your base and you're not prepared whatsoever at all.
Just in the little bit I've played, I already have an appreciation for terrain. That has a lot to do with, because you have limited resources and you got to make sure, your weak sides are covered and your strong sides is where you expand.
Is the map large? You mentioned
I don't know.
Emphasis on terrain.
I haven't been able to like get big enough. I'm halfway through my, well, not halfway through. I'm like 15 days into my second. That's the other thing. It wasn't resources. It's how many zombies and how many days you have to prepare. So I put it for standard game is 100 and I made it 150, but it's like, I was dead by day five. What I really like is that when the zombies come in, they don't attack they'll attack your workers, but that doesn't really matter. What matters is if they touch a tent that worker lives in, if they touch the tent, that worker becomes a zombie. And it turns quick because the workers are in the tents, right? So it's just a domino effect. Once they touch one, it's just like all your guys just turn on you like that, and then they're knocking down your main palace. So then you have to think about like where you're placing stuff and stuff, which is great that you can pause, really think about strategy. How am I going to do this? And so on and so on.
So you mentioned it is very challenging because of the amount of zombies being thrown at you. But as for the actual collecting of resources and building the bases, is it fairly self-explanatory? How would you
if you played an RTS before,
the actual structure side of it?
Yeah, okay. You're going to be fine. I mean, I haven't got too deep into the tech tree. But what's interesting, maybe a little different than other things, is every few... I don't know what are there. Thresholds that you hit. A mayor is elected, and that mayor has a perk, and it could be anything. I think those are randomized, so it adds a little bit of roguelikeness to it. So you're never playing the same game twice, I think.
And what benefit does the mayor have?
One of them was sniper.
Your structure.
You get a free sniper.
Oh, so they're kind of like a hero character?
No. No, like you unlock the sniper for free without going down the tech tree for the sniper.
Oh, interesting.
Like you get one for free. Another one was +10 to energy production. Stuff like that. What I thought was interesting too is like archers kill zombies silently. Snipers go loud but attract more zombies. So the more stuff to think about. And it just goes on and on and on. And I'm just scratching the surface here. Definitely super fun. If I were going to equate it like strategy versus fun, I haven't played a game like this since Darkest Dungeon, I would say.
Wow.
Because Darkest Dungeon, you can take your time, right? There's no timer on your decisions. So you can you can really think about what you're going to do, and the repercussions can still be dire. So
you purchased this game at full value. Was it on sale during the winter sale at all?
It was for 10% off, and I put it, I don't know what happened. I think I was having a drunk night because I had this and Assassin's Creed Origins in my cart, but they had that like return sale, or what was it called, extended sale, where they were gonna, so the winter sale ended, and then they had something called encore sale, okay, where they extended it by 2 more days or something. So I put them in my cart. I don't know why I didn't buy them. I came back the next day and they were full price, so I didn't get Origins because it was $22 difference, but I got this one because it was like a $2 difference.
Yeah, I would definitely say if it was only 10%, buy it at full price. You won't regret it. It seems like you like it a lot.
Yeah,
and highly recommended. Honestly, I would, since you guys know, I'm also getting back into streaming, and I've been thinking about the game to play when I do get back, this would be a very good option for me because I do love RTSs.
Seems like a good streaming.
Yeah, because you can pause and talk.
Oh, that's cool.
And maybe even discuss with your listenership or viewership, like what I should do next.
Okay, cool.
I'm really surprised that I couldn't play this off your account. I wonder why that is.
So strange. I think the developers have a choice on whether or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we've run into this before, but it's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm. And I think Duck mentioned something in chat here. It shouldn't matter if it's early access, but if there's third-party DRM, then oftentimes that'll be the case. But usually, if you go to the Steam page, it will tell you right up front, big, bold letters, like this game is not available on family sharing. Yeah, I don't know. It's unfortunate. I'll have to buy it later. I'm going to try something real quick. Let's see if I go to this side of the screen if I'm in focus.
Oh, okay. So what Bobby is doing right now is...
How's that?
So Bobby is testing to see if his face... We could switch chairs for a moment.
I'm even more blurry back there.
Do you want to switch chairs
with
me?
No, it's all right. It's all right.
Okay. You're just a fuzzy dude.
I know. It's probably because I haven't shaved in a while.
It's the fuzz from... Did you put any in my cup?
Yeah. We need a new camera.
At least a shot.
That's a shot?
At least a shot.
Oh, then no, that's enough.
Okay.
Okay.
I think. Okay. And back to the show.
All right.
Great video, terrible podcast.
All right. I've been playing a hell of a lot of Darkest Dungeon. I think
I'm up to between HOTS games.
Yeah.
And you've been streaming a lot too. Even now, going back into work.
Back to work and I'm still streaming every chance I get.
How's that? Juggling that with your schedule.
I mean, it sucks. I don't have enough time to really do it, but it's great. Like I got some regulars that are showing up all the time and it's great just to hang out and, you know, see what's going on with people. Like it's become the little hangout and, obviously it's a lot of Heroes of the Storm, but Darkest Dungeon is a great filler game. And I've been wanting to play more of that. Like I'll play it in between games of HOTS, but I'll wait to queue up a little bit just so I can get a little more Darkest Dungeon.
That's awesome.
In there. Yeah. And I've finally gotten in.
By the way, be careful. You can get banned for playing a game that you're not actually listing as the game that you're playing.
That's
happened to me, folks.
But you know what I do is I have HOTS in the background and then I have in a smaller window the game.
Oh, so no matter what, it's still showing that you're playing HOTS.
So you can see that I'm like HOTS is going on in the background.
You're being clever about it. I myself was not.
First year of the podcast, we gave Darkest Dungeon Game of the Year.
And how many years ago was that when you guys started DLG?
Well, I don't know if that was our first year. It was 2014 or 15, I think.
Yeah, that's probably their official release. But we gave it Game of the Year during Early Access the year before. So I think, I don't know. I feel like that's right.
I think,
or maybe we gave it to Smite.
Smite, really?
We were balls deep.
The lens does not have Vaseline on it. She wiped it off vigorously.
I did.
So
I really did.
It's definitely not that. Yeah. It's not like it's a decent webcam, but for what we're using it for, it's not ideal. So we're eventually going to replace that with something nicer.
If you guys watch Black Mirror, it's kind of like the episode where, well, this most recent episode, this most recent season. There's an episode where you're able to block certain images out or certain people. Mm. That was in season one as well. And maybe this camera is deciding that you are a threat or of some sort, and it's just blocking you from being fully pixelated.
Did you watch the whole season?
I finished. Yeah, I won't spoil anything. It's Black Mirror. And I've watched the entire season. I don't like it as much as the previous season.
Wow.
But
I thought it was the best season so far.
You're kidding me.
No, and more people. I've seen people say
it was 50-50. I hated some episodes. I enjoyed some episodes. Mm-hmm. Very depressing season.
If you haven't seen it, it's basically Twilight Zone for the modern age, is how I describe
everyone
it.
Everyone recommends
Twilight Zone
me,
meets technology.
See if that's in focus there.
Or maybe the cat is what's fucking it up. What if we put the cat down because it's got some reflectiveness to it?
Let's deal with it later.
Yeah. All right. Darkest Dungeon.
Bobby's being so vain right now.
The one thing that... No, it's better that I'm blurry, trust me. But the one, if you want to see me in HD, check out my stream. The one thing that I did buy during the Steam sale was the Darkest Dungeon DLC. It was cheaper just to get everything, including the soundtrack. I think I paid around 10, 11 bucks for it. But there's two DLCs, and I'm going to talk about both of them as if they're one, because I can't tell which one is which, you know, which content is which. Basically, you get two new classes, you know, the Flagellant and the Shield
Breaker. The Flatulent?
Flagellant, yeah. I know, it sounds like that.
Man, that's my real life hero right there.
But the Shieldbreaker seems class. Pretty strong. He's one of those heroes that moves up like back and forth with his attacks. Actually, I think it's a female. And I don't mess around with those ones. I really want to start trying out new compositions. As much as I played this game, there's so much that I haven't got into. I am making a lot of progress with it, though. I've beat a couple of the level 3 bosses. I'm about ready to get into the last area. Like, I'm getting there. Some of the new DLC is the Crimson Court, too. It's a whole new area that you can go to. And it doesn't have the whole darkness thing like the other one does. Like, you know, where you have to constantly light your torches? It has something called Bloodlight, which causes stress and increased bleed damage. Yeah. So there's a whole nother mechanic thing going on. And then you have to use blood to, like, prevent the Crimson Curse. Like, there's all these other mechanics coming into the game. And it's a lot more to learn, but it's kind of refreshing that after 140 hours of Darkest Dungeon, like, parts of it are going to get a little bit boring. So new mechanics, definitely appreciated.
By the way, Bobby, I believe Crimson Court was free. And then the two other things were paid for.
There were two DLC. The Crimson Court came with the Flagellant, and then the Shieldbreaker is its own DLC.
Flagellant, anyway, does sound like flatulence.
Yeah.
So what is flagellant?
You know, like flagellate, like when you
hurt yourself on purpose to
like penance.
Oh, I never knew that. Like, so now I know. So,
like people when they thought they owed penance to God, they would flagellate
like
themselves.
Like self-whip?
Yeah, self-whip. Okay. Exactly, yeah.
All right.
That was in Angels and Demons. The guy would like tie a bell. I don't know. It was fucking crazy people.
It's also another Black Mirror episode.
Everything's in a Black Mirror episode. But
they're getting sued by
Black Mirror?
Yeah, by somebody who like said that they had said a specific plot points, and it's all recorded and stuff. Pinkerton? Something Pinkerton? He's like a sci-fi writer, I think. Anyway,
okay,
we'll see how that goes.
Well, still having fun with Darkest Dungeon. Going to be playing a lot more of it. There was one other thing I wanted to mention about it, and I forgot what that was. So I guess we can just move on here. If it comes to me, I'll bring it up later.
Yep. As for games, I did not purchase any for myself, but I did get one game purchased for me. So this wasn't my own conscious decision to purchase this game. But thank you and shout out to Cricket Soldier, who purchased Hand Simulator for me. And when I got the notice that I received this game, I think I said, oh my God, what the hell did you do? It's like, I'm not playing this shitty game. Because if you look at the game, the first thing you see is just two arms out. One has a fidget spinner in one hand and the other one has a revolver. And you're just rolling your eyes like, what the hell is this tacky fucking game? This is a joke. You know, why are you forcing me to play this game because you bought it for me? But so I downloaded it, I installed and loaded it up. It is meant to be a game that you could play with mouse and keyboard, but mostly VR.
VR, yeah.
So when you go, have you played Hand Simulator?
No, but I would imagine.
For some reason, 4 people on my friends list had this game already. And I was questioning my friendship with all those people that possess this game. But that was my initial impression. When I loaded up the game, it's very simple. It's a multiplayer game. And it has to be, you have to play with, well, I think there's a single player option. But I could only see the appeal through multiplayer.
Okay.
Because what you do is with your mouse and your keyboard, you maneuver the hands and you could rotate the wrist. You can adjust the depth, the height, and you can grip with your fingers or do anything.
But what
are
you
doing? The first thing I learned to do, there are different game modes that you can play. And the first game mode I played was Mexican Standoff, where it was just
so
a table.
So you didn't pay your taxes?
Well, no, it was a table with a pile of money in the middle. And then there was a revolver and bullets lined up. And the purpose of the Mexican Standoff is to pick up the gun and take each individual bullet, load the revolver, aim it at whoever else is playing with you, and shoot them dead before they shoot you dead. So it's
I feel like people on VR
no
is just going to smoke you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there is an unfair advantage to you. Well, they kind of pay for it. It's the whole Star Wars effect. If you have the VR, you're going to have a better time with it. And there's no mode that allows you to kind of separate the two, like a mouse and keyboard player versus VR, it's all mixed together. But sometimes
can you tell who's on what?
Absolutely. Oh. Like they've played the game so much that they are leagues above what you're doing. It's very challenging, but it's also very entertaining.
They played the game so much that they're like,
so what are the other minigames?
I totally forgot, to be honest. Another minigame put me up in a room where everyone had their own individual table and a pistol and a clip. And it's the same concept. You take the clip, you put it in the pistol, and then you have to kill somebody else dead before they get you. I know there are other modes that I can't think of right off the top of my head. And oh my gosh, this game was only $1.99.
You didn't have to play it.
It was
hilarious. We have a $5 threshold, you fucks.
Okay, it was worth the $2 for the laughs that I got in because
the graphics aren't bad.
Yeah, the graphics aren't bad. What you can do in this game, you can actually maneuver your hand. The first thing I learned to do, and if you're watching Twitch, this is what I did with my hand. The first thing I learned to do in the game is basically... It's basically, I don't even know what to call it.
The sex, symbol?
Like, you know, like the, like with your fingers, like with the peepee in the, the hole. Anyways. And outside of that, you can flick somebody off. And when you're in these rooms, it's pretty intimate because you could talk to anybody in the room. And there was a certain point where I was fake crying, begging someone not to shoot me because I had kids. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, orphan my own children. Yes, it's voiceover.
Oh, boy.
But so it's basically a role-playing lobby with guns. And it's a lot of fun, but it's the hardest game I think I've played all year.
I think you're going up against VR people.
Because if you're going up against VR, it's impossible to maneuver.
Like, they're literally
anything.
Just going to move their hands, you're thinking about...
You feel drunk. You feel drunk the entire time you're playing this game because nothing's working the way you want it to. But it's pretty interesting. This one time I saw somebody shoot and kill the other person, and he was going to shoot me, but he ran out of bullets. So he just threw his gun on the floor, and he's like, I'm out of bullets. You'll have to shoot me. And I'm like, I can't even pick up the gun. I'm just going to leave the lobby. So it's just really funny. It's really funny, and it's got a heavy ragdoll effect. I recommend it for $1.99 for good laughs with your friends or even with strangers. If you like fucking with people, it's a good game to have.
Kind of reminds me of another VR game. Oh, he's going to shoot himself in the head. Oh, my God.
Suicide.
Oh, that's rough.
Yep.
Kolotov is fucking rough. They all look like Muggle Mike, by the way. Drunken Bar Fight Simulator. I played that, and I played that at Ray's house during his VR drunken birthday stream. It was really fun. You're just this skinny dude that tries to take on a whole bar at the same time. There's no real point other than surviving as long as you can. Oh, and getting wasted because you get stronger as you get wasted, but then your screen starts to double. It's really good time. And what's really cool is the spectators get to watch.
You played it in VR, correct?
In VR, yeah.
Is it possible to play that without VR?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
And then the spectators can watch from a third person, like a security camera, so they can see what's going on as if it was... like actually happening. It's really cool.
That's kind of neat. That's really neat.
Yep.
But Bobby, hopefully, I'm not sure if VR is ever on our shopping list. I hope we get to experience some good VR moments down the road because that game, it's fun with mouse and keyboard, but I imagine it's a lot of fun with VR as well.
I thought we were going to be able to like do VR in here, but I don't think that's going to be.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough room.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff going on in here.
Yeah.
I did remember what I wanted to talk about Darkest Dungeon. One other thing that comes in this DLC is the districts. And this is my favorite part about it. So you know how you upgrade your different buildings, like the Abbey, the Tavern, and like the Wagon, and they all give you better things. So the District adds more buildings that you can upgrade, but they don't work quite the same way. They just give you small benefits here or there, depending on what they do, and they're very expensive. You have to get blueprints for them and a ton of resources. But to give you an example, one of them is a granary. You build a granary, and then every turn you get some food. And you need food for every single quest that you go on. So it just saves you a little bit of money here and there.
And money is everything.
Mm-hmm. But it gives you – the important thing is it gives you something to spend your resources on because I'm at the point where I've leveled up a few buildings entirely. And after a while, I'm going to have nothing to spend my resources on. So
the money just pools up with no purpose?
Money and resources pulls up, and then districts are something new that you can spend them on.
Nice. Right. Do you have to – so there – the whole city used to be on one screen. Do you have to pan now to another part of the city?
No, it's a separate tab you bring up. And there's about 12 of them, I believe.
Damn.
And you know, one thing they added since the last time I played, I didn't talk about it last week, but you can trade resources. So you remember you get bus, you know, like statues of people, pictures, deeds, and press. And then everything costs a different amount of those. Now you can trade like 3 crests for 1 deed. Like you used to not be able to do that before, but I really like that they included that.
Yeah, that's good. Because otherwise they just go to waste, wouldn't they? Or
no, you just hang on to them and then you have to do the quest to get the things that you need. Yeah. All right. What else we've been playing?
This week, I'm still working on the Fractured Butthole. I've brought it up every single podcast for the past 4 or 5. I'm very close to finishing. I'm at that point where you, and it gets like this in a lot of different RPGs that you play, where you get so overpowered that nothing is challenging anymore, and you're just forcing yourself through the story at this point. And any additional side quests that you may have doesn't have a legitimate payoff, so it kind of destroys what's left of the game. And it's very disappointing.
Difficulty is so important in a game.
Still going to finish?
I still haven't finished. I'm so close.
No, I said you still are going to finish, though.
Absolutely. The game itself is not disappointing. It's just that the lack of challenge at this point is disappointing.
I mean,
and I play on the hardest. I play on the hardest mode.
To some extent, I mean, you want that in RPG, right? To be able to destroy all the shit that used to fuck you up.
Well, you want like that, but it's like the cheese dangling in front of you. Once you actually get it, then you're kind of, you know, over it. The thrill of the hunt is gone. It's like that with Killing Floor too. It's what I always tell people. You have to play on a difficulty that's slightly too harder for you. I'm running into the same thing with Darkest Dungeon because I'm at the point now where I've got an established roster. I can send my guys out on fairly easy missions and just farm resources and gold.
But that's not fun.
Yeah, it's not fun. It feels like a chore. Now, when I actually go and like I'm going to fight a level 5 boss, like then that's when things get interesting. That gets exciting.
And you might lose a core member. How often do you lose core members at this point?
I've lost 3 so far, but I was able to bring one back from the dead.
Oh, that's a new thing.
Do you guys remember any specific titles that actually skew the enemy's levels to your own? And I only recall 2, and this is like way back. I'm wondering if there are any modern day RPGs or even action adventure games that do this, because I remember in Suikoden, and also in another game, Final Fantasy VIII, they increase the level of the monsters level up as well.
Even if you go back to the level or the first area,
they're just as strong.
Yeah. MMOs started doing that a while ago.
Yeah, Guild Wars 2 was the first one that I think I ran into that, because that was always a problem. You'd have a character who was very high level and a friend of yours would have a low level and you can't play together. And it's very difficult to keep that in sync. You know, if you and your friend are leveling up a character together, you got to work one day, he's at home, he levels his character further than you. Like, it was constantly a problem.
I feel like that's a dilemma with every single MMO. I can't really think of many MMOs that do that right.
Well, World of Warcraft does it now. Really? Guild Wars 2 was the first one that
What does WoW not do right with them when it comes to MMOs, right?
City of Heroes
what's the
was...
the flaw that WoW has in the MMORPG?
City of Heroes was way ahead of the curve. We're talking like 7-8 years before...
Actually, that's Guild Wars 2. I do recall that about City of Heroes.
So what it would do is like you join your friend and it would make you their sidekick. So it would bring you up. If you were like 50, if your friend was 55, you'd be 54. They wouldn't give you all the abilities. You'd keep your own abilities, but all your stats would raise
up. I believe
up
Star Wars does that as well.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be dumb not to at this point. And what was he? A little story about City of Heroes. I had this fucking character. MMOs, I'm a big soloer. I don't like doing quests. I go in the forest and I kill shit until I'm top level. That's what I do.
Have you ever seen the anime Sword Art Online? You're like the main character.
What?
Where he...
Who?
He's like badass and deadly, but he only does solo. But you need a guild.
I didn't hear.
It's an anime called Sword Art.
You watch way more anime. Like you mentioned anime.
I fit all of my stereotypes. I really do.
I think it's like an age thing. I don't know. That's my theory.
I don't know. I watched a lot of anime when I was younger.
I don't know. I don't know anyone like around my age or older that watches a lot of anime. I don't know.
Send hate mail to Robert Digital. what was I saying? Oh, so that's how I play. I solo. So I made this character super fucking strong. I must have been in the top, I don't know, 2-3% of anybody in City of Heroes. But, like, I think WoW had just put the kibosh on people selling their accounts. And so prices were, like, way down. And I decided to sell my City of Heroes account. And I had it up for, like, $300. And this guy messaged me. I was so embarrassing. He messaged me and he goes, hey, man, I'm interested in your account, but I'd like you to know, I'm going to be honest with you. I think the reason you're not getting bids is because you spelled heroes wrong.
We've heard this story. We've heard this story. Did you get it for $300?
No, he's like...
He actually threw more money at you, didn't he?
No, he's like, how much do you want for it? I was like, honestly, I'll just take $100 for it. So.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Oh, boy. I got more money just for my gold, my WoW gold, when I was a once upon a time Chinese gold farmer. Just kidding. Wasn't. But
I got $2,400 for my EverQuest account, though.
Oh, man. Whoa.
Yeah, EverQuest accounts went for a lot of money. Yeah. And like original vanilla WoW.
I paid for my eye surgery with my...
I did get hacked. My WoW account got hacked once. So they got all the goods
buy gold
for free.
From like those shady sites. Like everyone I knew that bought gold... That eventually happened too, unfortunately. Like if you just dealt with, or if you had someone, a buddy of mine had someone level his account, like one of those companies in China that level your account for you.
They have all your access right there, right?
Yeah, it's not good. You know, since we're a little light on games to talk about, I'm going to bring up a little something with Heroes of the Storm. Now, I rarely get excited when they bring out new characters, but this next character, I'm actually genuinely very excited for. They're bringing in the Firebat from StarCraft. His name's Blaze, and he's this tanky dude that just dashes around the screen. He almost reminds me of Agni from Smite.
Okay.
Remember how he would lay down like a gas field and then he would zip over it and light it on fire? Blaze is kind of like this.
But Firebat is it's a vehicle, isn't it?
Firebat is
a StarCraft unit. Yeah. It's like a dude in a big armor suit.
And then he does a very short range burst attack with his flame.
Yeah, he has very short, in StarCraft, he has like a flame that he spits out and it does a lot of area damage. So it's good at cleaning up Zerg and you stick them out in the front line. So this guy looks very tanky, looks very fun to play. And
why are you so excited? Because of his kit or?
I don't really care about any of the lore or any of the nostalgia about anything like that. But yeah,
his kit.
I mean, he's a tank, first of all, and he just looks so fun to play. Like, he's just laying oil spills, lighting shit on fire.
That's got a bunker
he drops down and people can get in. It just looks like a lot of fun. He's on the PTR right now, and he just looks funny. Like, he looks like this little squatty dude.
It's interesting that they make him a tank, because in StarCraft, they are not that tanky. Firebats,
they melt
almost as easily as your Marines.
They're a little disposable. They're always in the front line, and they die very quickly.
But yeah, he
he's squatty,
really cool.
But he can dash, huh?
He's very
That's funny.
He's got
bulky.
A bit of a wind-up on the dash. Yeah, Agni, man, that was fun. Did you know the Smite World Finals are going on tonight? I think the Grand Finals are going on, like, they started an hour ago.
I'm going to go watch them.
Yeah.
After this.
I have to watch the replay.
Can you guys leave, actually? No.
I mean, we could do this on Sundays, preferably. No, just kidding. So we are live on a Saturday evening, but our usual recordings should be on Sundays.
Midday afternoon.
Keep in mind, we are in San Diego, California, so everything is Pacific time.
Back in time. Or in the future, which is it?
No, we're all back in time. Essentially night
back,
owls.
Yeah, to the future.
Everyone else in the U.S.
Part two.
Yep.
PUBG. Been playing a lot of PUBG, having a lot of fun. Continue with the fucking wave of awesomeness. I had a really good game, and I had a shit ton of bad games, but I had this one really good game where I just felt like a fucking assassin. Like, I was just playing people. Just, you know, one of those games, you're in the zone. And then for the first time since the patch that I had a really good solo game, I was like, oh, I want to get the video. Let me see what the dealio. So it records all the 20 last games that you had, and they'll cycle through, right? So if you play another game, your 20th game goes away.
Okay.
But you can go back and watch any recording. But what's great is you don't have to watch it from your original perspective, nor third person. You can watch it. What it recorded is, I think, a square kilometer around you. So you can go and see what everybody was doing around you at the same time while you were running around. Or, like, basically dissect.
Like Close Encounters. And
yeah, or far, or whatever the fuck anybody was doing on the other side of the mountain.
Okay.
Like, yeah, so you can, like, you can say, like, what was that guy's game like in order for him to kill me 7 minutes later?
Okay.
You could follow that guy. Yeah. So you have all these different angles. You can go, and there's a lot of different tools. So it's kind of like Valve, what is that called? Their video creator that they did for TF2.
Source Filmmaker.
Yeah, like Source Filmmaker. Filmmaker.
Film Faker.
Yeah,
Film Faker.
Flatulence.
I source still don't know. Maker. I was just messing around with it. One thing you can do is lock one of the videos or as many videos as you want so it won't cycle away. You know what I mean? So if you really like one of the games, you lock it and it won't count as one of those 20. Does that make sense? Because it only holds 20.
It's like a DVR.
Yeah. So then you can go into your, because it's saving it on your computer, I think. You can go in there. That's where the disconnect is. I haven't gone to this point. You go onto your computer, you can access the video, and then, you know, modify it from there. And so I probably won't do it, but it'd be nice if I did.
It'd be cool for highlight reels and everything else. And it's great because otherwise, if you're not taking the extra time to record everything, the fact that it's built into the game, that's very impressive. I would love to check that out myself. I just have to play 20 games. I've only played three very good games, but three since the new launch.
Still no chicken dinner since 1.0.
Really?
I shouldn't even hold this fucking cup.
You know, my first two squad games were chicken dinners.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've heard.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, Emilio. That's why we should game together. I know you did ask me the other night to game, but I've still been busy trying to set up my stream. I'm glad that we have the DLG stream set up because at least I'm in the action and I'm doing it and I feel good. It feels good to be on Twitch again.
So we weren't going to pigeonhole anybody into anything. We were just going to see how things went. And it seems like the majority of the chat is coming from the Twitch, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Twitch seems to be popping off over there.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's still a work in progress. Like, we'll definitely donation button up next week and then a few other things. So
yeah, we don't even have a scene, huh? Once we have, like, borders and shit, like, maybe we won't have to crop things like you were saying. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll talk later.
All right. Let's talk. So we talked about a bunch of games. Let's see what's going on with the news.
Civ 5, so Cambridge University over there in Cambridge, came up with this super intelligence mod for Civ 5. And basically what it does is you follow the regular game if you start in the modern day, and eventually AI becomes another player. And so it's another resource that you can use, but it's a very interesting resource. Because if you gather too much of it, it becomes sentient and takes over your country. But if you don't use enough of it, you won't be able to compete with the other countries. It's basically game theory going on with what's going on with AI in real life. You know what I mean? So they put it together kind of to simulate what's going to happen in the real world. But you can play it as a game right now. It kind of reminded me of War Games. You know, it's like a War Games mod for the modern day. Because I think it was Elon Musk that said that AI is far more powerful than nuclear bombs. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, he has definitely been preaching the dangers.
You want the Chrome download, Bobby, I think, or plug-in.
Yeah, I'll get that.
Okay. Yeah. Amazon, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Netflix, Twitch, you know, all Twitter, basically all the companies that I own are getting together and suing the FCC for their rollback on the net neutrality rules. I think a couple things about this. I can see the FCC saying, look who's fighting the fight. It's like the big companies. Obviously, you know, like this is just a capitalism thing, or that's what kind of, I feel like that's what the guy's going to say. But obviously the guys with the most resources are going to fight for it. Anyway, what the lawsuit exactly says is that they're suing because the general population of the United States do not want this. It doesn't line up with the interests of the common man, and basically calling them out for what it is. They lobbyists paid to get this passed. All the IPOs or ISPs, sorry. ISPs paid to get it passed, and it got passed. So it hasn't started really fucking things up yet on our end, on the business, on the consumer end. But I think on their end, they're probably already feeling the effects. I just thought that was interesting. Hopefully, net neutrality will come back.
They should have anticipated this.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure there's stuff in the legislation that probably even protects against lawsuits. I'm sure it's that ironclad, but we'll see. Battle Royale Trainer has nothing to do with PUBG officially, but what it is, it's a standalone game that helps you get better at PUBG.
This seems pretty controversial.
Now, how does it do
how
this?
Does so it train. Go about doing that?
So it has all the same guns and a lot of the same gameplay. And the problem with being really shitty or just not that good at PUBG is you don't get a lot of trigger time. You'll play 15-minute match, you'll get in one gun fight, and you'll lose if you're not very good, usually, right? You might get lucky. You never really get to practice. You get to practice running around looting.
Well, that's why what you do is practice against the wall. It's the classic Counter-Strike training where you play with the recoil, you look at the bullet holes in the wall, and you kind of gauge exactly how you're hitting. But I guess with PUBG, where there's a lot of range and momentum involved, it would be pretty tricky to try to get long range sniper shots and with the variables and terrain.
And that's
I can
the other
see how
thing.
That could be helpful.
That's the other thing too, is like different loadouts. When will a shitty player ever get a maxed out like whatever? And here they can just build it and actually have fun
for
a little while.
If they have a very good drop and just become very lucky.
Yeah.
So is this kind of like a sandbox mode where you can set it up however you want? It
has nothing to do with PUBG, though. That's the thing.
It's not actual
officially.
PUBG mechanics. This right. isn't actually PUBG, correct?
Well, they say the mechanics are supposed to be the same. Anyway, the mixed reviews. Some people say it's simple
and it
works.
If it's not the game itself... If it's not right. a carbon, like an exact copy of the recoil, and it can't be, of course, because it, copyright
proprietary
issues.
Proprietary, probably, right?
Yeah, but...
I can't blame them for the cash grab. It's 30 million people have this game, you know.
Wait, PUBG?
Yeah.
And then I guess the trainer would push people to... I could see how you could get some benefit. I really could, but I personally
if
would
they
not
did it
use
right,
it.
It might be useful. It is useful. I don't know if they did it right. I just thought that it was an interesting subplot to this whole grand epic PUBG thing that's going on. I don't know what to think about this, really.
There's got to be a way.
What do you think, Bobby? You buy a game to help you play a game.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea. I have no idea how well it's implemented, but it's a good idea because there's a lot of things like that that are lacking in games. If you go and play League of Legends or Dota, those are very long games, and it takes you a long time to get to the point where you're going to have a 5v5 team fight for the most part. So, how do you practice that skill? Do you go and play a game and then 30 minutes later, 40 minutes later, you finally get to that point where you can practice that particular part? It's like when you practice for a sport, it's like, hey, let's work on your hitting. Let's work on your catching today. Or, let's field some grounders. You practice certain things over and over, and you have to do it. Like, repetition is how you learn things. That's what it comes down to.
And, I guess it can also build confidence. But my biggest concern is that it's not PUBG. It's not the same maps. It's not the same layout. And the weapons, though they may be very similar, a lot of being very good at shooters is muscle memory. So if you become acquainted to shooting a gun and having it hit accurately in a different type of game and then trying to translate that over into another game, you could just be doing yourself more harm than good, in my opinion, too.
It's just like It's all on how well it's implemented, right?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
If they did a good job with the gunplay, then and you really suck, or if you just need practice. Not everybody has 50 hours to put into getting good at PUBG.
That's true.
You know, maybe they could... Anyway, and then you could work on your weaknesses if you're, you know... Like, my weakness, my strongest weakness is probably looting.
Your strongest weakness?
Yeah, my strongest weakness. That goes on a... God, there's a really good joke in Jumanji where he... What's the little guy's name? The little black dude?
Kevin Hart?
Yeah, one of his weaknesses is strength. And he's like, how can strength be my weakness? Like, it's on a graph.
Did you watch that movie? Was it good?
Yeah.
Or did you just see that in a trailer?
No, I saw it.
Oh, you saw the movie?
Yeah,
I plan to go see that.
I've heard it actually is good.
Yeah, it's definitely good.
And then, I guess, since it's a separate game, when I think about it, other MOBAs, if you play other MOBAs and then you play, like, for instance, I play a lot of Dota 2, and then I go and play HOTS with you, Bobby, just that general, you know, core understanding of MOBAs and how to play, like maneuver in them. It does give me a better leverage than somebody who's fresh to the game. Mm-hmm. So maybe this battle royale trainer isn't as awful as I'm making it out to be.
Let's make a HOTS trainer, Bobby. God knows I need
one. They got aim booster.
Well, yeah. And then not only that, you can play offline games with most MOBA games. So MOBA games won't necessarily need a trainer game.
I didn't see the price point on this either.
And then not only that too, when it comes to actual training, I know for me it's very helpful watching experienced players play the game and or taking tips and tricks from recorded videos. Like,
you know what I saw the other day? So I never watch a whole lot of game. Like, I don't watch Twitch. Every once in a while.
No,
like,
esports either?
Not at the moment. Okay. If I'm really into a game that has esports, like I'll watch PUBG esports right now. If it comes to my attention. Anyway, I started watching a lot of PUBG videos, especially with Dr. Disrespect and a lot of Shroud, who Shroud is the best in the world, most people say. Anyway, there's a guy who takes Shroud's videos and then dissects them, play second by second, play by play, like, look at where his cursor is here, and it's the most common or it's the most likely place that a person is going to appear, and this is how he got a kill, and he's just like breaking it all down.
Absolutely.
And it's just fucking awesome, man.
Well, when you think about it too, way in the past, like Game Shark days, and when like AOL was everybody's internet, they would have walkthrough websites. And the only way to master a game is to basically just dissect it through, because somebody else did all the work for you. Yeah. So you just read the walkthrough and you play through the game like you're a pro. And that's what YouTube is for a lot of different games. And for me and with Dota, they're not walkthroughs, but I would read. Yeah, they are walkthroughs in a sense where I would read up on everything that I was supposed to know and also watch the videos in relation to improving my game as well. So
I was talking to Slapnuts. He said, hey, if you're really good at Street Fighter, are you good at Tekken 7? I was like, I haven't played a Tekken game since Tekken Tag. And then I said, dude, I remember buying the book for Tekken Tag, like the walk. It's not a walkthrough, but it had all the combos and all the moves. Because there's no way you're ever going to... They weren't written down anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was no other way. The internet didn't exist. It wasn't as potent as it is now, like where you could just go combos for King. And so the only way you could is to see him. And he laughed at me for being old.
No, not at all. I love strategy guides when it came to, because I played a lot of RPGs. And when I worked at GameStop, if you guys didn't know, I actually was the GameStop girl for 6 years. And when I worked at GameStop, the books would revolve out and discontinue so quickly that I would go home with boxes and boxes.
Oh,
and I literally had my own library of strategy guides that I eventually recycled.
Those things were
and
like,
kept like two or three because I honestly didn't need them. It was just decor, really.
You know what ended up being better is like the art of... Those ones are awesome. Those you could keep up. They are, like, it doesn't matter who. It could be your mom. She could appreciate at least the artwork inside of them.
Yeah, I could have done something creative with those, but I just got rid of them.
Like the average guide
guide was $19.99.
Yeah, so they only had to sell 10% of the ones that they made. Not even that. 5% of what they made and still turn a profit at the time. When the getting was good.
Good business.
Yep. Where are we at? So, okay, hardware. So CES is coming out, so we're going to have a lot of hardware stuff coming out. Ace, not us. No DL Gaming brand headsets, unfortunately. But Acer has announced that a gaming line of PCs of their own, going from low high to high tier. You can click on the link if you want to take a look of their couple of their cases. Bobby.
What's their lowball price on a gaming rig?
I believe I saw like $1,100.
So how do you guys feel about Acer as a brand? This came up in Discord several weeks ago.
I feel they're killing the game.
I love Acer.
I haven't heard a bad thing about Acer.
I've never had
for a long time, they were kind of considered lower tier.
They were a budget brand, but then...
Also quality for budget. When I think of Acer, I almost strictly think laptops. If I'm looking for a quality meets budget laptop, Acer's up there on my list.
I don't like that. That looks good. It looks like it's
pear-shaped. Looking at some of the models on the list here.
Laptops look good. But yeah, I don't know. Like, you know how you constantly, you always think of, okay, Acer, they're not a good brand or they're low tier or something. And then it takes a while for that to actually go away when you realize I've had so many Acer products in the past and they've been just as good as an Asus or any other brand that I've owned.
Yep.
So.
And it's hard. I mean, had I been them back then, hindsight is 20/20, but I probably would have rebranded before I came out with my premium stuff. That way you can shake those first 2 years of whatever.
They do have some credibility built up, though.
No, for sure. Quality.
Where are they from? The brand name.
Is it
Acer? I have no idea.
Korean brand, maybe?
Yeah.
Somebody look that shit up. Let's see if that works. That's going to be my new shit. Somebody look that shit up.
That's the catchphrase.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, CES is coming out. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot of things from that. However, the last couple CESs, I swear, ever since the whole 3D television thing.
What is CES?
Consumer Electronics Show.
So it's the biggest electronic show in the world.
Yeah.
It's in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, like, it's not video game centric, but a lot of
home entertainment, washing machines, dryers, everything.
I'm sure smart home is going to be gigantic this year.
Yeah, smart home, I think, is going to be big. But
they're like, Bobby's interested?
Oh, shit. But they don't.
Bobby approved. We need to make a stamp.
They used to make all these things, these announcements at CES. But Microsoft, a couple years ago, pulled out, said, no, we'll do our own announcements.
Yeah.
And most companies have followed suit, and they just announce things wherever they see fit. Google announced all their stuff, like, back in November. Apple has their developer conference where they make a lot of their announcements. Like, CES isn't what it really used to be. And it used to be a good idea to see, like, these are the trends that are coming out. Okay, 3D television sets are going to be huge. They weren't, but you know, it gave you some insight into the future of what to expect.
I remember last year was 8K and curved monitors, and I'm like, bullshit. And for the most part, it really hasn't been adopted. But I remember those were big.
It's great for audiophiles too. If you're really into audio gear, headphones, earbuds, whatever, like, they have just no end to the new stuff coming out there. So I don't know if anything
is it
big
going to
comes
be like
out,
Drone City too. Is your brother-in-law going to be there?
Drones? I don't know.
Maybe.
Drones there.
No, drones definitely are there. I've had friends go home with free drones from CES, but the cheaper ones. I don't know.
You get insane amounts of swag, I hear, at CES. And also, you're guaranteed to get sick because you got people coming over from all around the world sharing whatever diseases they have. And we're in the middle of a horrible flu season, so I can't imagine what people are going through right now.
You know, it's funny. I just went to his work for the first time, my brother-in-law over, not my brother-in-law, but my girlfriend's brother. And I dropped off. It doesn't matter. So I'm driving away. I saw his building. It's very... like nondescript. They don't even have a sign outside. I guess you don't when you're building drones. Like, nobody's going to be like, oh, let me go get a drone. So I'm driving away and I have my truck and trailer and everything. And this guy runs up to me. He's like, hey, man. And I was like, yeah. I slow down. He's like, can you move dirt? And I was like, that's what I do. And he's like, can you take this dirt across the street? I was like, it's going to cost you $150. He's like, okay, 15 minutes, $150. Just like that. A guy running up to me, like, paid me cash right there. It's fucking awesome. Wow. I didn't even get out of my truck. I was just like, they dumped it in. I drove 200 feet, dumped it, took off. It was awesome.
Damn. Wow. Business is good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We got some confirmation here. Acer is from Taiwan.
Oh.
All right. I guess it's time for listener feedback.
I don't even have a Taiwanese fucking stereotype I can throw. Like, hey,
I really those guys I don't know any Taiwanese people.
Because they like vanilla.
Before we get into listener feedback, let me just forewarn everyone. These are the longest questions I've ever seen on the screen. They're paragraphs.
Well, what happened was, so Skydiver doesn't use Discord. So he put all of these on Steam. And so I copy and pasted them into
our Steam group, or he messaged
you? Yeah, our Steam group.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
well, that's
these
one,
are
that's
a question one. For each of us.
Okay.
From one person.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. They are a little lengthy.
So let's start. Yeah. Let's start with Sky.
Skydiver. Yep.
Well, they're all Skydiver.
Yeah. All three of these are from Skydiver. First one is addressed towards me. He says, Bobby, are you going to read Significant Zero, Heroes, Villains, and the Fight for Art and Soul in Video Games? It's by Walt Whitman, who wrote the story in Spec Ops The Line. Great game. And it seems right up your alley. I seem to have the same taste in literature as you, and I have read every book you have mentioned on the podcast, some before you had mentioned and some after you had mentioned. I have not read it, but we'll get around to it. I checked it out on Amazon, kind of they let you preview some of the pages and saw what it was about. And it does look like a very good book, something I'd be absolutely into. So
who buys, do you not, like, why wouldn't you just download the ebook?
It's on Audible and I got a few credits there. So I'll probably grab it on that. I like having hard copies. I'm weird about books like that. So I might end up getting it.
None of them are displayed in your house though. Where are they? In a drawer?
In my cupboards, yeah.
This is a what did it go? Humble Grotty?
There's no actual solid foods in Bobby's house. It's so he uses his
dressing.
Cupboards.
That's
still liquid, Bobby. Salad dressing is liquid.
There's some pieces of garlic in there or something.
But so yeah, that book instead does of look using great. His cupboards for food, he puts
I will definitely read about
them.
It or read it, and I'll talk about it on the podcast too. There are some books that I wanted to go back to and read, even that were just, I love video game books. Anything about video games?
And that's Walt Williams. Bobby said Walt Whitman.
Whitman. Oh, yeah. God.
Emilio with an A. Game idea, and I read this beforehand, and he fucking nailed it. Battle chess like. And turn-based. Oh, there's a game idea. Battle chess-like and turn-based, except for whenever you move against another opponent, it goes into a 3D or 2D fighting game style where you actually have to determine the outcome with two fighters to retain their strength and weaknesses. So if a bishop moved against a smaller game piece, blah, blah, blah. You guys get the idea. There was actually a game just like this. It was for the PS1, and I bring it up every once in a while on here, and it always eludes me, the name. It's like Soul something. Somebody will link it.
Flying Hawaiian found that game.
Yeah,
and said what it was.
It was way ahead of a time. It was grid-based.
So it's like a strategy game, like
strategy
chess,
game.
But instead of just killing someone based on the move, you actually duke it out.
Yeah, but
there's a mini game inside each.
But on top of that, there's the paper, scissors, rock, toaster, whatever. Like five more things. So this guy will definitely beat that guy unless you play your
some
fucking
rare,
heart out.
Yeah.
You have
rare
an advantage.
Probability.
You go with an advantage.
You have a huge advantage.
There was a fantastic game that I cannot believe has not been redone. It was on the original Nintendo. It was called Base Wars. I know a lot of you have probably heard of it. And it was baseball, but if you got tagged out, you got a fight. And these were robots playing it. So you could upgrade. Like, you'd win games, and you'd get money, and you could spend that on upgrades. Like, I'm going to give this guy a big, huge fist, or I'm going to give this guy a gun that shoots pellets, or this guy can, like, jump up and down and bash their head in because he's, like, a hoverbot or something. So there was this fighting game within a baseball game. A fantastic idea. I cannot believe they redid it.
I know hockey games have that. Like, you could duke it out with anyone
like
at any
real
time, and
then, like,
it pauses, and it lets you, like, just duke it out with somebody.
I remember the first time I saw a hockey game, I was like, they can do that?
Right.
No one's going to stop this?
Oh.
Okay.
This fucking, so I never watch, I don't watch sports, but anyway, I do watch UFC, and George St. Pierre is one of the greatest fighters ever. He made buddy-buddy with some hockey guy. And he showed him the Superman punch, which is like this, like, imagine like a girl skipping or somebody skipping.
We know the Superman punch.
Yeah. And then you just throw your fist out. So it's kind of like a skip punch. Anyway, he taught it to this fucking hockey guy. Homeboy's been knocking dudes flat.
Oh my god!
Like nonstop,
because he could get away with it.
Yeah, yeah.
That is hilarious. Because,
well, they let them fight. He's an enforcer, right?
Yeah. Like,
this is somebody who fights.
Yeah.
So they square up.
An enforcer is somebody like, that they put in the game to kind of bully around.
Yeah, exactly.
People. Yeah.
So, but it's the same old shit. Like they grab each other from the back of the head and just. But no, this guy just brought this George St. Pierre fucking Superman punch. Look it up. It's fucking hilarious. He's laying dudes flat.
All right, last question from Skydiver to Chi.
For me, he is asking on a scale of negative 10 to negative 1, negative 10 being bummed and negative 1 being, you know, overjoyed. How glad am I that I moved to California when it is currently negative 12 degrees in Minnesota? So the thing about cold weather is that I do not miss it. I do miss seasons. I do miss variety in weather. In California, I am kind of depressed by the sun sometimes, because growing up in Minnesota, I was trained to be an indoor person for a third out of the year, where I was allowed to hibernate, and it was completely normal to just be indoors for an extended amount of time, get my WoW time in. That's why I grew up an avid gamer, because it was acceptable to not leave my house. Whereas for California, I will stay inside, and then the second I go outside, I'm hit with sunshine and basically, and people are outside with tan, smiling, happy, and working out, probably doing something with their bodies, and it just makes me feel like such a loser. Yep. Because the second I step outside, the sun is beating me up and going, where the fuck were you all day? Do you know that you live a block and a half from the beach? Have you even seen the beach in the past month?
When was the last time you went to the beach?
Yeah, a month and a half ago. Yeah.
I
live literally a block and a half from the beach, but it's a very scenic drive. But anyways, the thing about the cold temperatures, the only thing I miss about Minnesota, that seasons are the number one thing I miss, but also I do appreciate being able to hibernate, but I hate cold temperatures, and I especially hate driving in cold temperatures. So my score would be minus 3, because I am pretty damn overjoyed. It's just that it's too sunny in San Diego. Am I allowed to say that? It's too damn sunny out here.
Too sunny in San Diego.
I have a question for
really
the listeners.
In San Diego.
Bobby said that we talk really fast. Like he doesn't.
We do.
Most podcasts he listens to in 1.5 speed, and he doesn't have to do that for ours because we talk so fast. I don't notice that, I guess. But is it true or not? I don't know.
There's no pauses in our podcast. None at all.
Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
I don't know. I mean, I like to listen to my podcast sped up because it saves me time. And after a while, your ear grows accustomed and you can listen to it. But ours, you can't. And then when there's a lot of people talking at the same time, then it's just gibberish. You can't hear a thing at all. So that happens with ours a lot too.
I naturally talk very fast. I'm not sure if it's possible to slow myself down.
It's better for mathematics.
My brain.
It's an Asian joke, everybody.
This is that much quicker. Therefore, I talk that much quicker.
Next question coming from Clown Lotion. Now that you've achieved your goal of attaining a studio with video capabilities, what's next on your list of accomplishments?
Better video.
Yeah, definitely better video.
Better background.
Yeah, I want to do some soundproofing and just kind of clean up the background. I think we need a bigger TV, a better camera.
Bigger cocks.
Yeah, we'll put that on the list.
For me, I want to throw this in there. I want to have official DLG game nights where we have a LAN and we're playing multiplayer games. And if we're all playing it here, you know, it's a fun experience that we can have everyone be involved
this would
with.
Be
even
fun.
If they're not playing the games or on Discord, they could at least watch our stream.
Bobby, if we had a way bigger TV, let's just say like crazy, would you be able to just get all of this, you know?
I think it would fit a little bit better. Like even if we went like 4K and got like a 60 inch or something.
I have a spare big screen TV. It's just, it tends to flicker. So it's not reliable.
Yeah. Throw it away.
Can you do that for me?
Yeah, I can. That's what I do. I know a guy.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, I think that's our wish list going forward. We got the streaming computer. It's working out wonderfully. We just need, it's crazy how this stuff adds up.
The big one's going to be whatever that adapter you said for the webcam, right, Bobby?
The adapter?
Some sort of lens for the webcam to make it look professional?
No, that would be an actual DSLR with a wide-angle lens. And, yeah, we'd need an HDMI adapter. The adapter alone is over $100. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, I think that's down the line. But obviously,
but
the video
fuzzy,
that we
dude.
Have, I know, and that's kind of
you
unacceptable.
Are. Like, Bobby is perpetually fuzzy.
What? So we
are you sure you don't
want
to switch
like
seats just for a moment?
God mode over here, because I'm like all sharp. And Bobby's all...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Look at the difference in our faces, right?
Maybe it's the red door. Maybe it's the red door thrown in.
You want to switch?
Maybe at the end of the show. We'll all switch right. And we'll see what it looks
we'll
like.
We'll do a Q&A at the end.
Yeah. Okay, so next question coming from Shadow Master. What do you guys think of the new games that are indie that are going back to the 80s graphics but handle better than 80s games?
We've talked about this before. I think they have to do 80s graphics because they don't have the money to go into, you know, graphics is what really kills. Voice acting and graphics is what kills you monetarily. So they just put good gameplay and, you know, they grew up when we grew up. So going retro also helps. Mm-hmm. Some people just buy games straight just because of the look. You know, Hyperlight Drifter is one. Well, that's also a good game.
I don't find myself getting suckered in as much anymore, like seeing something that's old school.
Well, there's so many.
Yeah, there's just so many that it's kind of become a little convoluted. So, I mean, now if I hear good things about a game and it's not that expensive and it's got those old graphics, then yeah, I'll absolutely check it out. But it's not like a selling point for me anymore.
And I'm not even sure if good graphics are essentially a big selling point for me now. It's almost like a industry standard, especially with AAA titles and whatnot. Really good graphics don't equal or equate into a very good game. So when it comes to an 8-bit or 80s style game, it's looked upon much deeper than that. You know, checking out reviews, what's actually innovative about this particular title, being that the graphics are outdated. I think for me, especially now as a gamer, graphics aren't, they're low on the totem pole in terms of appeal for brand new games.
For sure.
I think we hit a point with game systems where graphics weren't the driving factor. You know, maybe right after like the first Crysis. You know, we had that whole thing when Crysis came out where no hardware could run the game. Mm-hmm. And then there was this big drive to get bigger and better hardware. And now I feel like the focus is more on gameplay and not necessarily graphics. And that's probably a good thing.
But every once in a while, you do hit a breathtaking game and it is, you know, you're just like floored, you know?
Yeah,
like,
this is someone coming off of Senua's.
Sinuous. I was about to say it. Jesus fucking Christ. You can see the individual in her eyeball. You can see the individual like cracks in the color, like a real eyeball. It's fucking nuts.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. What's next? I can't read anymore. I'm drunk.
Oh my God. The webcam's doing something. Stop. Okay.
Okay. I'll read
All
it.
Right.
Atrocious listener question. What has been the game that you've most been disappointed by? The one game that you were really looking forward to, but ended up falling far below your expectations. God damn, I really thought
we had this conversation.
Did we? Well, kind of because of our
Game Awards. Yeah.
But I will throw something out there that I have it on the tip of my tongue. Star Wars Battlefront 2. Mm-hmm. How did they not learn from the first game? They had a whole game, millions of dollars were spent. And then not recouped.
They don't think with their brains. They think with their bank accounts.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, this is bad, guys.
Why break?
I still haven't installed. Nobody will play with me. I've asked so many people to play with me. Nobody plays with me. Nobody's bought this game. It's not terrible, but it's not. It's The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I don't know. The only game I can ever think of when that question is asked is...
Is it of all time or just recently? Because
no,
I have
all time.
More. Oh, of all time?
Yeah. And we all know the answer to that. Evolve.
Oh, yes. Of all time.
I think that ruined so many games for me. That was such an eye opener. Like, that just, it made me skeptical of games going forward.
Had so many things going for it.
Yeah. As for just recently, and I know we'll bring it up again, we don't have to go into it, but just recently, this year, I can think of two titles. That's Andromeda and Destiny 2. So
you played them both for
I did play them both. Yes.
Okay.
True.
Just making sure.
Still below my expectations.
Yeah, true.
You don't want to be in that spot, trust me. I become a major bitch if my expectations are really high.
Epic try hard face. I can never say your name like just easily. it does not roll off the tongue. You get to have one super ability from any game recently played, but in real life, which ability would you and why? I think Life is Strange would be awesome. I just keep buying lottery tickets till I won.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't blow away my entire city, but I just move to another city.
Yeah.
Start rewinding that city.
Well, you know, we never had like that discussion. We always talked about where we're just complete spoilers. Let's talk about Life is Strange. And I feel like too much time has passed for it to really be relevant or for me to even remember.
I could have sworn we had our episode.
No, we never talked spoilers. But for me, like the end of that game, like the message in that game was there are some things that you, because that's a superpower we all wish we had. Like, what if I could go back and change the decisions that I made? And that game to me was about letting go of that feeling and accepting like what has happened in your life for, you know, what it is and like dealing with that and
accepting
not,
the reality.
Yeah. Yeah. And not going back and wishing, oh, what if, you know, so
it's a waste of time, really.
Yeah.
That thought,
because in the end she couldn't prevent it from happening. She had to make a decision and she was going to lose one or the other. So yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a great game and I still haven't played the sequel. Sequelitis, man.
Do you have the same, answer, Bobby?
I can't think of a better ability.
Okay. There really isn't, because that's the most OP ability, but I'm trying not to think of the best answer here. I'm trying to think of
a silly one,
a very fun one.
Yeah.
I mean, revive would be kind of cool. Just being, you know, Mercy from Overwatch, Heroes
Fuck,
Never Die.
So weird. Because like I could see, okay, so it becomes national news. You can revive people, right? But you have to be there within 15 seconds of their death.
Oh, I know.
No, 10 maybe. Yeah. So people are flying you around the nation, paying you exorbitant amounts of money to fucking be there when they think, but then they don't die when they're supposed to. So then what do? They paid for you to be there. So they off them. Ooh, this is getting dark. Do you see what I'm saying though?
Yeah.
Like, it'd be crazy, but like the richest
there's so much involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You could start a series about it.
Okay.
And then another question from Epic Tryhard Face. He asks, what was your best and or biggest 2017 gaming accomplishment?
I answered this on Discord. I said it was probably Cuphead, beating Cuphead, but there was another one. Just anytime you solo win on fucking PUBG is fucking amazing. Unless you're Jens, who just fucking shits them out all day. Have you guys seen that?
Jen's probably.
Like, probably like two a day,
yeah,
when he
on
plays.
Discord? Absolutely.
Unless he's hacking.
As for you, Bobby, what would yours be?
Biggest game accomplishment, 2017. I don't know.
Rank? Maybe a rank?
Yeah, maybe HOTS. Hitting Masters and HOTS. I don't know.
Holding your own with esports players?
Oh, yeah, playing against them.
Or was that
2018? It would probably be something HOTS related, but I'm trying to think of something outside of Heroes of the Storm, like something that I was really proud of. No?
I know his biggest accomplishment for 2018 is going to be stop playing HOTS.
No. One step at a time here, man. I gave up all the bundles. I gave up my bundle trash, my precious bundles.
Guys, I don't usually play with my eyes this much, but my contacts are fucking acting up.
Dude, that's how you get sick, touching your eyes and
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You don't want to mess with that. And then for my biggest gaming accomplishment, I know I'm a big failure when it comes to coming close to beating those 12 different games that I had on my to-do list.
Two, three?
I think I beat three.
Three.
And I'm actually very proud of the fact that I went back, and I know Portal 2 is such a short game, but that's a game that I played a lot of, but I never just forced myself to work through the entire plot. And this time I did. I stayed up all night. I was literally
Max?
Up until, no,
solo. How have you and Max not played the co-op together?
Because it doesn't have a computer.
You don't need one. Oh, you do need one. Shit.
Thanks for reminding me how pleb my boyfriend is. But anyways, so B8 Portal 2, and I think the second night I played it, I was up until 8 a.m. and just like breaking into the crack of dawn just to finish it. And I do plan on beating more games this year, but I'm not setting myself up to...
It's tough, guys.
To beating too many.
Pay a living, enjoy a living, and then also buy finished games... Then stream and podcast. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Raise a puppy that's peeing all over the house.
Oh my God.
Tolerate a pleb boyfriend.
Today was the first time that I came over and he didn't run up and pee on me immediately.
Yeah.
No, he nosedived into my crotch again.
He's got a crazy cut.
Yeah.
I don't mean he comes up and he lifts his leg to pee. I mean, he jumps in the air and pee flies out and it just sprays everywhere.
It's like he jumps the air and he does this 360 spiral and it's just pissed everywhere.
Yeah, he's a puppy. They do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what are we doing next week? What's next week looking like?
Wow, Chi, we got you out of here on time.
Yes, this is amazing. So this next week, let's see, what's today? Officially the 7th? January 7th?
6th.
This next week, I will be up and streaming on my own Twitch again. I finally got all the equipment in. I just have to do the final tweaks. I'll be working on a new overlay for you guys as well, or at least helping out with some panels.
And our new name.
And the new name on Twitch, too. And I'm going to be just diving into Twitch and playing some games and getting back into hanging out with the community more. So
Bobby,
I'll see you on Discord.
What is it, Bobby?
Robert underscore digital.
Yep.
She streams on.
Smoochy, SMOOXCHI.
And for the current, I stream on DL Gaming, DOTnet, but that's going to change. We'll let you know as soon as it happens.
Yeah.
Games to be played. I'm going to try to finish 150 days. I'm going to die. There's no doubts I'm going to die. I'll be undernourished. It's going to be hell. I'm going to make it to
watch me pick up this game, play it, and just annihilate.
I hope you do.
The game.
I hope you do.
Oh, I do have that Asian brain, so, yes. You know.
And Bobby. Oh, and I also bought the DLC for Darkest Dungeon, so maybe a reinstall on that.
Yeah. It's a good game, man. I'm going to be playing a lot of it. I'll be streaming a lot of it. Of course, Heroes of the Storm. Going to try to find something new to get into. I've been wanting to get into some other MOBAs, Awesome Knots, League, but I just haven't had the drive to do it. So I don't know. I'm going to try to find one new thing to play this
week. I think
it's
okay to be completely obsessed with one MOBA at a time. Trust me. It's already just one MOBA is an investment enough of its own. So,
and Bobby, our most recent foray back into Smite, you were like...
I found it frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Although I'll probably watch the grand finals that are going on right now and be like, I should try that game out again just to see where it's at and play it a little bit.
I wouldn't mind a reinstall.
Yeah.
Did you say?
Yeah.
What?
I talked about how I was going to be a presence on Twitch again, picking up games, being on Discord. They are billions.
Oh, you know what? Mini Del Mosso was talking about playing Golf tonight.
Yeah, and then just beating your score. I'm repeating myself here. Every single word.
I'm drunk. Hi.
Yeah, Twitch chat is asking where your beer's at, Emilio.
I don't drink beer. I'm on keto.
You're on keto again.
Back on keto.
Hell yeah.
Starting today.
I support it. I support it. Okay, guys.
Got an invitation from Cricket to play some Killing Floor 2. Killing Floor 2, man, I wish more people played that.
It's garbage. and we also got an invite from Mini Del Macho to play Golf It. So I am definitely into that tonight.
Yeah.
That's in the podcast, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's wrap it up.
Are you there, titties? It's
Are you still there?
Bye, everybody.